So, are we doing this pre-chat thing? Because we've got a brand new show, haven't we? I paused on purpose then to wind you two up.
That was your idea. So I said to Bowen, because we try and make it look as natural as possible, and we thought, right, we're going into a new year. We'll make it. We're like, well, this will be smooth. I said, have you got something to say, Bowen, to start the show? Because he's normally the one who asks a question or something like that to get the show going. Goes, yeah, I've got something. He goes, so are we doing the pre-show chat?
What were you expecting?
I thought it was going to be something good.
Yeah, I mean.
It's a new year.
And it turns out it was shite.
New year, new
Right.
me.
You had three shows that we've cancelled already to come up with something.
And Duffy fucked all of them up.
I was going to say, we can't place all the blame for the bad intro. We should be in our stride right now, but we're just getting going.
It's been tricky. It has been tricky. Let's address that first of all. So we normally record on a Monday night. Bowen has started playing football. I played 1 week and decided I liked it, but I was uber unfit, and but I wanted to play football, so I've joined like this fat people's football league thing,
Celebrity Fat Club.
and then Josh couldn't do Wednesdays on no Sundays, so it was just trying to find days basically. And then by the time we actually got ready to record one last week, we was all sat down, was all ready. Started to sort the mics out and everything, and realised that I couldn't find my mic cable. And nothing else would work because it's like a proprietary cable. So that went by the wayside, and then here we are.
Rookie mistake from you.
It has been a bit of a shit show, but what would you expect anything less?
No, and it's the hardest thing is to get going. So now that we're going, we'll probably be fine.
It's probably going to be better than ever.
Yeah. And we also have a new layout for the show that we're going to be trying out. So if it's crap, blame Duffy. He came up with it.
We're only 100 episodes in. We're having a revamp.
Is it 100?
It's 80 odd. It's 80 odd, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're in the 80s or around 80.
That's the motivation to keep going.
We're going to have to think of something because. Will we, if we're doing 2 a week, will we hit 100 by this year?
2 a week?
Two, not 2 a week. Bloody
Two a
hell.
month?
One episode every 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 a month.
Oh my
Well,
God.
I don't think we won't hit thingy, will we? So we've got a little time to think about what we're gonna do for 100.
Probably not a lot. Say we're going to do a lot and then fail miserably and do nothing.
Yeah, unless I organise it.
We've got 20 odd weeks if we did them every week. That's enough time to come up with something.
We're not doing this shower of shit every week, are we?
So, other than football, what have we all been up to? Have you been playing much? I'll go to Josh first. Have you been playing much, Josh?
I have not, and I played today for the first time in 2 weeks, and I've played about the worst round I think I could play at my home course. Definitely worst within the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not good. There's a lot of snow in the trench, as we say.
I think that's going to be a similar answer for most of us, I reckon.
Can I interject? We've done 89 episodes. This will be our 90th.
Oh, so there is a chance that we'll get 100
Yeah.
this season. We'll ask the listeners then. What should we do for the 100th
Nothing
episode? Because we've got no idea.
too much like hard work. We don't want to be asked begging pros for interviews. They don't give a shit about us. We don't give a shit about them.
Yeah.
What about live streaming in the
No, I'll pay you not to do that.
nuddy? Josh doesn't know what nuddy is.
Nude?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I just thought, yeah.
Yeah, you look like you haven't got a clue what I was on about.
No, that was the look because he didn't want to see you naked.
yeah, so So you haven't been playing much then, Josh. Have you got any tournaments lined up?
I'm assistant TD for the Cyclone, and so I've been busy setting that up.
What date's that, Josh?
April 27th and 28th. It's sold out, more than 20 on the wait list. It's should be good. We've got a new clubhouse for the club, and what? We're going to have a player party on Saturday night.
Where have you got a clubhouse from?
The local cricket club behind the course.
Nice.
They got full service bar, changing rooms, toilets, and then we're going to take the basket up there and show a bunch of people what disc golf is and hopefully get more people playing. But should be fun.
You got to throw a cricket ball around.
Yeah, I think I'll have a go. I'm about to join a team down here.
I'll remember you saying, are you actually up for that?
No, but if I'm at the game and they need someone last minute, I'll jump in. I'm not going to go to training just so I can be embarrassed.
Just thinking about it, you've got your ABBA costume to wear to play cricket in?
You're not wrong about that. That's exactly what I thought when I put it on.
Josh, you should have said the other day, I've got a spare cricket bat you could have.
I mean, I haven't gone to training. I haven't done any of that. I'm definitely not going to do it. It's something I'd like to try, but I don't think I will.
Just so people know what the joke was with the ABBA thing is, Josh is now in an ABBA tribute band playing the drums. And they are the most successful ABBA tribute band in the world?
On the planet, yeah. It's called Planet ABBA, so I think that's probably why.
Good segue there, you two. That was real, or a good pun that was. Anyway, I'll give you that
one. Thank you.
Yeah.
You two have improved.
Thank you.
So, are you a touring artiste now, are you, Josh? Is that what we call you?
No. Well, no. I don't think so. I'm just getting back into it. So I used to play professionally before I moved to this country, but haven't really done it since I've been here. So it's 5 years of getting back into the groove.
You've dabbled, though. You do lessons and stuff like that, don't you?
Yeah, lessons. And I've done at least a gig or two a year since then, and one like small European tour thing. But yeah, that's another reason I haven't been playing as much, but I'm still going to be active on the scene locally at the course, more so the home course, setting up events and stuff like that. But probably only play 3 or 4 events because I need to make some money.
I'm sorry to interrupt. The biggest news of the year, we've signed him. We've finally signed him and we haven't addressed it yet and we're 8 minutes in.
Well, it just feels normal for us three to be, you know, together. So not a big deal. But yeah, I'm on the team. Three deep in the team.
I thought that was going to be in the news.
It could have been, but I think it's too big a news to put in the news.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure everyone was shocked to hear that the podcast I've been on for 2 years has finally put me on the team.
Ground him down. Nagged him for 2 years.
Every day we'd go off air and they'd ask me and I'd have to get... It's just really awkward and... I don't know.
No, we didn't. We haven't asked him once. he was saying, please, can I come and sign for you? And was like, oh, Josh, we don't really need any more players. And tears come and we thought, bloody hell, Josh, yeah, go on then. We'll have you.
Yeah, you guys are soft now. You've had kids for a while.
Nah, pleased to have you on board, Josh.
Yeah, I'm happy. It's going to be good. We had our first official team round a couple weekends ago. Got to meet up with Bella and Flo and you guys. And had some pretty awful weather, but I think we made the best of it.
And you and Flo were throwing putters further than me and Bowen were throwing our drivers.
Bowen was coming up with making it seem like a competition between Flo and I when it was definitely was not. He was setting me up the whole day, like, oh, I don't know if you got as much power as you used to have. And then trying to make me throw really hard when it was raining and windy.
Something else that was funny, after we played the short course and we really had time for a quick round, and we played a doubles on the short course.
Why did we only have time for a quick round, Duff?
We had to get food in.
You're desperate to get your food in.
It's part of my fat club thing, my fat football. So Bella and Flo got paired up together randomly. Me and Josh, and then Bowen with
Magnus.
Magnus from Croydon. Play from Croydon?
Not from there. That's just his local course.
Yeah, yeah. And after like hole one, when Bowen had said sorry twice to Magnus on a short hole, I said to Josh, I wonder if we can count how many sorries Bowen makes to Magnus and whether it like eclipses how many holes we play. And it did. He beat it by one. It was like 15 sorries to 14 holes.
We were walking off the last hole.
Yeah.
Was that what like sealed the deal? Like as we were walking up, was I still on the course?
When we were celebrating, it wasn't because we beat you guys. It was for that.
But had we finished the last hole?
I think you were about to putt on the last one, or I mean, we're still on the green when it happened.
Josh, he's trying to get out of it. It's official. We hadn't signed scorecards.
You're on the pitch.
No, there were no scorecards. I don't even remember this round even happening.
So, welcome to the team, Josh. And like I say, we're genuinely pleased to have you. I'm not going to say any more nice stuff because I said enough on the Facebook post that I put on.
Yeah.
And that's as much as you're going to get from me. But yeah.
Are we a toxic welcome. Team, are we? Are we toxic bosses?
Bosses.
No, some people respond really well to this type of treatment. And I think I'm one of those people.
Carrot or the stick method.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're definitely the stick.
But yeah, so Bowen.
Yes.
What have you been up to?
Oh, not a lot, really. I played with you for the first time in what... Do you know what's killed us? The weather has absolutely killed us. We played Shrewsbury, didn't we, a couple of months ago, which is okay.
Yeah, January.
Which is okay. My local Quarry Park, my local Arrow Valley has been a complete write-off. That field gets so boggy and wet in the rain. And Quarry Park's been a complete write-off pretty much. Like, so
yeah.
I haven't really like been able to get out and play much. I keep saying I'm going to do more field work. That never happens. But as the days get longer... What are you going to say?
With the Quarry Park thing, the first tournament of the year is that got postponed is on Sunday, which I'm playing in. And like I just see the other day, like I don't know, it was yesterday or the day before, it's all like waterlogged and everything, and like the river's up on the course again. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with the course.
I'm going
to
sound like an old person here. I've never known the rain that bad in that, like, it's just been non-stop for months, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's the wettest February in, I think I heard, 7 years or so.
You know what the reason is for that, Josh?
Global warming.
Duffy?
No. they don't dredge the rivers enough.
He's a global warming denier.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
All those.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, all those icebergs melting, they have to go somewhere.
Exactly. Isn't it El Nino this year or last year? Isn't that something to do with it as well?
El Nino?
Yeah.
It's like a warm
gust of wind, isn't it?
It's like, is that what El Nino means?
I think
El Nino means boy.
Yeah, the boy. It's when the...
The boy.
That's what I said.
It's what Josh said. It's when atmospheric pressures change and it changes the weather patterns. It happens every few years.
I thought El Nino was a storm. Like, you know how they like name all the hurricanes?
El Nino's a weather system I could do some research, but it's...
I feel like you're talking a load of shite here, man.
I feel like I'm really fucking nut because I am a bit more intelligent.
No, you are right. I'll give you that one.
It comes,
El, what is El Nino? The name El Nino is widely used to describe the warming of sea surface temperature that occurs every few years, typically concentrated in the central east equatorial Pacific.
But it causes a knock-on effect everywhere.
So that may be the global warming that you're on about?
Could be, could well be. And that's causing the rain and it's screwing us over.
Get old Greta Thunberg onto it.
I know. She got arrested, didn't she? She got sent to court the other week.
Did she?
Yeah.
It's all part of the New World Order, though, isn't it? So she'll be all right. She'll get away with it.
So someone said my daughter looks like Greta Thunberg, and it made my daughter burst into tears. I don't know whether it's. I don't think it's that bad. I mean, she's not. What's the word? Classically attractive, but she's not ugly. I don't think it matters, but yeah, it made Millie cry anyway.
But who was it? You?
No, it wasn't me. It was one of my dad's foster kids.
Oh man,
Greta Thunberg, like that.
I don't think it's an insult, especially.
No, I think she probably said it as an insult by the sound of it.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. But yeah, there we go.
So you haven't played much. You played. Is every time you've played since Christmas been with me?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is every time you played been with me?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I barely played. I am pretty worried about this Sunday, in all honesty, because just of the lack of playing time. I mean,
so this is the first one that's been rescheduled.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Correct. And I think the first one because of the weather, if I remember rightly. I've been putting in the garden quite a bit. And when we played the other week, I felt like my putting was actually fairly decent. I felt like I made some decent putts, but it was like my drives, which weren't particularly great. And that's normally, it's normally the complete opposite. It's normally my drives are fine, but I just can't put. Well, so
you just have to find the middle of both, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the first Winter Open. The second's already happened because the first was postponed.
Is this the NOAA Tour Fundraiser Championships?
And are they both on the tour schedule, are they?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
BDGA is encouraging self-funding of tournaments for certain players.
The Pay Noah to Play Abroad Open.
Yes. Jesus Christ, everyone's going to hate us by the end of this episode, aren't they?
Nah, it's only a laugh, isn't it?
Exactly.
Plus, he's got loads of money in his pocket anyway, so he ain't going
to
be bothered.
He's laughing all the way to the bank. Sorry, Noah.
He's not going to buy you any chip buddies on tour this year.
Or whole steak and kidney pies or whatever it was.
Okie doke. So I think we've covered most of that in the first bit. So should we start the actual show now?
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of the brand new series of In the Chains. On the T-Box tonight, with me, as always, we have team boss, Thomas Bowen.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag. And on the other T-Box, on the same T-Box, just at the back, we have ITC team member, Joshua Beringham.
Team captain.
That has a nice ring to it.
Joshua Beringham.
I'm pretty sure who is the captain?
You are now, just to wind Sammy up.
No.
That would be funny. It would screw Sammy.
Is it Sammy?
No, we haven't got him.
Hmm.
we don't like to put anybody above anybody else. We're very much a team that likes to encourage everybody on the same level.
So we're all captains.
Yeah.
Except for me and Bono, who are quite a bit above you, everybody else. Just unfortunately not in playing disc golf ability.
I don't know. I'm falling back towards you really quickly, so we'll see.
You've got a long way to go before you hit the bottom like me.
We might be meeting anyway in the MAMP40.
What? We
might be that old.
You're there now, and I'm there in like 4 or 5 years. Hey, go get it in. That's the first one of the year.
Can you be 39 to enter the MA40?
If you're gonna turn 40 in the calendar year, then you can play. Okay.
Are you 37 or are you 38?
I'm 38, but with my birthday being in December, that means I get a full year of 39 in the 40s. But am I going to do that? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stick it out and continue to get my butt kicked every week.
MP40 is quite a challenging bracket for you as well, isn't it? It'd be easier in MPO.
I wouldn't be winning it right now with Ian McDougall in the way.
Yeah.
No.
So
Dougs is smashing it, isn't he?
I've got my work cut out for me no matter what.
Yeah, so like, I think I asked earlier. So, have you got many tournaments on, Josh?
Maybe three.
Three. What's your plan? If all's possible, what's your plan?
I'd like to do. Well, obviously, I'm doing Cyclone. I'd like to do British Open if it goes ahead. If it's at Fairways, if it's not at Fairways, I'll reassess.
That's a talking point, isn't it? What? I mean, we don't know what's. Necessarily, we haven't got any inside information or anything like that about what's happening with the British Open, because obviously people probably know, but if they don't, Fairways as a course itself, I think, is looking basically being shut, I think, through lack of funding, is it, I assume? Or
I thought it was already closed, but apparently there's some rules in place where you can go maybe at specific times, or I don't know.
It's Rich Hatton trying to keep it open or something, I think. That's the rumour I heard.
I don't know. I just feel like we're working to just try to get the British Open included before it completely shuts down.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything outside of that.
The problem is, I don't like to bash people. We've got all these courses popping up in the UK. People need to go out and use them. That's the issue. I think we need to become a bit more willing to pay for rounds, because otherwise these courses will just disappear, won't they?
Yeah, I think that's right to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Fairways
is a bit off the beaten path.
A little, yeah.
Like there's that course in, I think we spoke about last season or whenever it opened. Is it Silver
Birches?
Silver Birches up in North Wales, and that's meant to be a really nice course, but it's like 18 quid a round, is it?
Yeah.
Or is it more than that?
18 quid a round.
And see, like, I feel like 20 quid for the day, I can handle that, but like 18 quid a round seems a lot, I think.
You're
and
it's probably like, only doing one round there, sounds like. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But then, because of the size of it all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you can add a golf cart, split it between your buddy, just make a day of it.
The price of normal golf's minimum 25 quid a round. And I know it goes on longer than a round of disc golf, but if you take your time when you're there, treat it like normal golf. It's not that bad a value for money, if you think about it. If it's 3 hours and it's costing you 18 quid, look at how long it takes you at work to earn 18
quid. Yeah, I guess,
quid.
Yeah.
You're willing to pay 40 quid a ticket for Liverpool or however much you pay, aren't you?
Yeah. I think people who, especially like people up in Manchester, people perhaps near Bedworth, near Arrow Valley, near Ashton Court, places like that, and they've got free courses, Croydon, another one, and they've got free courses, it's a big jump then to go, right, it's 20 quid now.
Yeah.
That seems like a big jump then, and it kind of, like, because a lot of the main, I would say a lot of the main courses, especially in England, not so much, I don't know about Scotland, but like in England especially, like the bigger courses, except for Quarry Park, are pretty much all free, I think. No, Essex you have to pay for. But like,
if you get caught. Like
yeah. Oh, do you?
But like, there's a big, like where the bulk of players are, there's, most of them are free courses, and I kind of feel like it's difficult to then go, right, it's 20 quid for the same thing on a different course, and it's like, well, I'll just go and play the one that's free. That's kind of, and I feel like that holds us back a little bit.
But then the other side, Josh, carry on.
No, you're fine. I was just going to say, I don't think, for me personally, even if I live right next door to like a pay-to-play course, I couldn't afford to play more than 2-3 times a month on 18 quid a round. Like, that's, you're talking about 50-some pounds to play three rounds. Agree. Which, I don't know, that's not what got me into disc golf. It's what got me into disc golf was a park for free with your buddies and you just run around. But, you know, it's not that for a lot of people. And I think there is the type of player that will pay that and, you know, this is want to go enjoy that sort of thing.
What you're paying for is the no people walking dogs, no people on a park run.
Yep.
Like you say, you can get a buggy there. I think nothing has split. If I go and play golf, I think nothing has split in a buggy of 40 quid between me and a mate. You make it more of an experience. Yes, it is probably becoming a little bit more like golf and you don't want it to be too elitist. You don't want to put people off. But some people might want to make it. We could say, right, we're going to drive up to North Wales in Duffy's camper, have a night there, play Silver Birches. You can make an experience if it's worth it. Do you know what I mean? If it's a good course.
But that kind of goes back to the point where we're going to make it a special thing. Which is that going to keep it? Is that going to keep the course going when someone's like, oh, I can only get up there once every 6 months?
Yeah. Probably not. That's kind of what I was gonna say. I feel like if you're making it like if you're playing the free course 95% of the time, then the other 5% you're going to play in a course that you have to pay to play. You kind of I don't think like the player like there's not enough players in the UK for that 5% to just keep topping the course. So that's kind of the problem. But not just to pick on that course, because like from what I have heard of the course, it's meant to be
amazing,
pretty fucking good.
Yeah. That's where British Champs is this year. They've moved Champs way up, so hopefully there's good weather for it.
Which everybody's cried out for that, haven't they? Rather than having it in sort of October time when it's shit weather.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's definitely a good move.
Not bashing anyone. The core amount of players are between Manchester, let's go Bristol and London. Like, it's Manchester, it's easy enough to get over. It's a couple of hours. But, like, if you're travelling from London, like you are, Josh, the other side of London, you're looking at a 6-hour journey, aren't you? How many people are going to be willing to go up there?
Best way to do it. And then, luckily for me, I'm only 3 train stops away from Gatwick, so I can fly up to Manchester and get in a car with somebody from there.
Would you think about doing that?
Yeah, I bet you could get cheap flight, couldn't you? Like 10 quid.
Maybe.
I don't know if I'm planning it, but if I am, you can get a train up here, Josh.
Yeah, but trains expensive.
Yeah, they are actually. Well, I'd just say you don't want to go with me.
I might just fly and see if Bella and Flo can shove me in one of their dog boxes on
how
the way
is
up.
That a thing that I'm flying sure is cheaper than train? That shouldn't be right, should it?
Train is nicer.
No, it's not.
I mean,
you'd rather get there quicker, wouldn't you?
The process of going through security and I don't like it doing that. And then you have to go somewhere to get on the plane, a specific place, whereas a train you just get on wherever.
Yeah, I suppose.
My main concern about it all is like the effect it has on the environment now.
Yes.
Your face when you said that. Oh, it was good.
Okie doke. So, I've said that's the first okie doke of the season.
There we go.
shall we? We've had a little bit of a a natter, shall we have go into Bowen's fake news?
Yeah. So just real quick though, if we're thinking about trying this new layout, right? So we've got, we'll do the normal opening. Hey, how you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then we're gonna select a topic before the show starts. Hopefully.
After this week, sort of thing.
After this week. So this was just kind of a coming back together one. So next week we're going to try the layout. But yeah, so have a topic, discuss it for a bit, chew it up, let Bowen do the news. And then we're going to have a weekly disc golf tip, which I do have one this week. But hopefully, if we have any listeners, they will suggest some tips for us to shout out.
Can we let the listeners suggest topics as well, and they can be as it could be as out there as they want.
Yeah, just hop in the chains with us. You know what I mean?
Literally anything, and it can be anonymous. If you want to ask a question, you want us to talk about something, and you do want to put your name on it, that's fine. If you don't want to put your name on it, you can message me or Josh or the ITC team on Instagram.
What did you say, Bowen?
And yeah, nobody wants to talk to Bowen.
And for your post to be considered, you must join our VIP program of £5 a month to pick our topics for us.
I like where you went there.
I was going to make a joke there, and I thought it's best that I don't say that on air.
All right.
Okie doke. Just write in, let us know what you want to talk about. It can be anything. If you if you don't want to put your name on it, that's absolutely fine, and then we can discuss it. And then the same with the tips. If you've got any tips, they can be silly tips, they can be serious tips, they can be something you've learned that you think everybody should benefit from, or anything, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, my tip today will definitely save you strokes.
Oh. So keep
like not a no practice save your strokes.
Oh,
tip.
It can do that as well. Write down the wrong score on your scorecard and hope everyone agrees with you.
I was going to say something else then. I was going to name a name, but I chose not to.
I think I know what name as well.
Okie doke. Let's go into Bowen's fake news.
Fake news. Right. So, shall we start home or away?
I'll have home, please, sir.
Oh, John Parrott, he was on there, wasn't he?
Josh ain't got a clue what that is.
No, he don't. He don't know who John Parrott is either.
I'm just going to sit back and relax.
Do you play snooker in America?
No.
Okay.
So, I'm sure somebody does.
I am going to go to the Quarry Park Winter Open 2 that precedes, is that the right word?
Yeah.
That comes before,
I think so,
Quarry Park Winter Open 1 due to
It's going well, Josh.
This was on the 3rd of March. It was a one-day tournament, C-tier. It is one of the...
The 3rd of March is a Tuesday.
Right. I'm going off what it says on the PDGA website.
It's not really.
Okay.
Carry on.
This was the first event on the BDGA tour, even though it wasn't meant to be. MPO was won by local hero Derek Robbins. Congratulations to him for getting married recently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the old dark horse, he's got a wife.
He was all smiles when we saw him last weekend.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was that because his missus was in another country, or was that because he's just got married? That's my question. I don't think he's been married long enough yet to... be happy that they're not there.
They're still in the honeymoon phase.
Yes. So well done to Derek.
If Kay's listening, I'm very much still in the honeymoon phase after almost 10 years.
When's your...
If she's not listening, did you say she 10 does
years?
My head in.
Did you say 10 years?
We'll be in June.
What? Oh, that's 10 a big year, one, 10, isn't it?
10 years married.
How?
Yeah, what, we was going to go away. The plan was to go away, just me and Kay, but Mom and Dad are moaning about having the kids, so we're going down to Cornwall now in the van.
Oh, I'd have had the dog for you.
Yeah, I know you would, mate.
I don't think I'd want the kids for a weekend, but...
Well, Layla would be all right, wouldn't she? But
I'd soon sort Dylan out. Like, he'd come back with a couple of black eyes, but... Have you met Dylan, or was he asleep, Josh?
No, I didn't meet either one.
Yeah, I think you...
I got there at, like, 11:30 at night, and then we left at about 8:30.
Kay's just must have heard me and messaged me and said, you do my head in.
Oh, there's nothing like support from your spouse, is there?
Exactly. That's what I get it all the time, Bo.
Wink if you're not okay.
So we've got Derek Robbins.
Yeah, Andy Partridge came second. Isn't he a radio DJ?
No, you're getting mixed up with Alan.
Okay.
His brother Alan.
Okay. He's the brother of Alan. Okay. Jamie Matthews came third and Michael Sharkey came fourth in MPO. Joint fourth with Ben Jeffries and Stan Valentine. He must have stepped up to MPO now.
Yeah, he Michael Sharkey. There's a lot of people stepped up. It's a big field now.
So, FPO was won by View Georgiou. I think I'm saying the last name right. With Rebecca Butts in second. MP40 was our mate Ivan. Ivan Bromwich won MP40 with Rob Hamilton in second. Sue Underwood won FP40. MA1 was won by Sam Passard with Rob Nicol in second with Oliver May. And Avis Gravitis in fourth. MA40, Adam Barlow beat Gary O'Malley. MA50, Duncan Evans beat Pete Harvey. MA3 was Jake Phillips, who won with Connor Harvey Ward and Kieran Buckley in joint second. And that's it. That rounds it up, basically. I could go through all the names, but we'll be here all night.
So that was the first tour stop of the year, right?
Unofficially, officially, yes. Played
under Tour Point Challenge.
It was the official British Championships Invitational.
Okay.
Don't worry. It's all right. It's an old joke.
Not seeing your face, I can't tell when you're joking or not.
Okay.
I never know if the information's correct anyway, so.
It was more that they had the British Championships a couple of years ago, which should be the premier event, but they had to turn it into an invitational, so it's not really a championship.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, should we go away now?
Yeah.
We've missed so many tournaments. That I'm just going to go into what happened this weekend. The DGPT, the Open at Austin, which is in Texas, by the way, Josh, just to let you know that.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay.
It's an amazing city.
Funny fact about Texas, that if it was its own economy, say it was its own country, it'd be rated something like 10th in the world for GDP.
Yeah, isn't California like number one or something?
California. I thought Texas is bigger than California, isn't it? No? I don't know. There's a lot of oil money down there, though, isn't there?
Then Bowen, tell them your fact about London's GDP.
What in the UK?
Yeah.
So if you take London out of the equation in regards to GDP and the rest of the UK, the UK is poorer than the poorest state in the US, which I think is Mississippi.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Wow.
So, yeah, we punch well above our weight in England and the UK compared to
our sort of world status.
Yeah, you just don't have enough land to produce enough things to sell to make the money, do you?
Well, we don't produce anything these days. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Like, we used to. It's called the Commonwealth.
Yeah. I don't think you can say that, mate. We're going to get cancelled next week. We're going to get cancelled. So,
Open at Austin.
The Open at Austin. MPO was won by Gannon, who in the off season. What?
How could you get it wrong?
Because I've got last year's one open.
Is it won by Bayern?
I had it all right before we came on. And then what happened? Here we go.
Is you fucked it up?
Nicholas Antilla.
He did it. The first Finnish player to win an Elite Series event.
Is that MPO and FPO?
That must be just for MPO because Evelina.
Evelina, yeah. Evelina's gone up to second in the rankings as well.
She's doing good. Her putt's looking better. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it. I shouldn't have said that. But
you've jinxed it now. She's doing good.
Yeah. But yeah, well done to Niklas. That's pretty sweet.
Is he the bazooka?
I got teary watching him speak after the tournament.
Did you?
I always feel, it's not necessarily disc golf related, but I always feel with Niklas, I always feel like he dresses very smart. He's a very cool looking, suave person, isn't he?
Yeah, classic good looking European guy.
Yeah, yeah. But he dresses the part as well. He looks very professional.
He presents taller than he actually is. I think.
Yeah, I think that's true as well.
Did he move to? He moved to Discmania, didn't he, in the off season?
Yeah, he moved from Discmania to Discmania.
Was he on the lower team or something?
No, I think his contract was just up and he just re-signed kind of late towards the beginning of this season. There was rumors he was going to switch to, I think, Latitude.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, I'm... It's crazy how good Discmania's team is now.
They got all the young kids, haven't they?
Kyle, Sammy's Gannon, yeah, and Niklas. Kyle's always in the top 10. Yeah. Gannon's won a third of the events this year already. Which is one, but still.
And,
Gone and burnt.
Second was another Discmania man. We've already spoke about it. Kyle, another young lad. And third was we're going to call him ever-present, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, Calvin Heimberg.
Well, it's good. He's just come back off an injury, so.
Yeah, and Antti Barella's going to be making moves this year, I reckon. He came fourth.
Jeez. That dude's scary.
Yeah.
I think when it clicks, like it could have everything, but you've seen bit dribs and drabs of all parts of the game, but it's putting it all together, and I feel like if he does, he's gonna be a monster. But
he's still young though, isn't he?
He is young.
Yeah, I mean he's hitting putts from everywhere now.
How old is he? Early 20s?
Yeah, I'd say 23 so. Maybe. Yeah, I know. Well, Niklas is 23.
He's still got plenty of time, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He's throwing 700 feet now, so even in 10 years, he'll still be throwing 500 feet.
Did PMB play at the weekend? He came 22nd. I don't think he wants it anymore, does he? He's just had a kid.
He's got a couple of courses, maybe two or three courses now. I think he's just setting up for the future, getting in good with the Disc Golf Pro Tour, putting events on, and basically anytime he does anything, the Disc Golf Pro Tour changes to like encompass his plans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point. But yeah, I still think he wants it. I think he's just not practiced, you know, again. Like he needs to get back going.
Because of the baby situation and all this other stuff, yeah.
And it's a motivation as well, isn't it? Of like you've won everything. So do you lose that hunger or that drive? I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Will he win?
I think
an elite series this year.
Yes.
No. I don't. I'm gonna say no. I'd say no. I think
he has the ability to win a world championships just at the drop of a hat, though, doesn't he? He won the sixth without really doing a lot.
I feel like he can turn it on more so than some of the guys, for sure. But he's got to have it in the tank, and I don't know if he's got it in the tank quite yet.
Okay.
Not for this season. I mean, maybe towards the end of the season, after a few more events, I'll start thinking differently, but don't know.
Fair enough. Let's move on to FPO, because this was interesting. Am I right in thinking that her second round is the highest ever rated female round? No. It was pretty high, wasn't it? It was 1,055.
I know she had the highest event rating of any FPO player ever.
Ah, that's so what it was.
Of the three rounds. I don't know what the highest rated FPO round is.
But that's gotta, I imagine Kristen Tatar got it.
That's got to be close, though, right? 1050s, like
1055. That's gotta be the highest.
I'll tell you somebody who would know off the top of his head.
Sammy.
Highest rated round FPO.
We do all our preparation beforehand, don't we?
But it was Scoggins anyway. It was Owen Scoggins. She was on fire. I saw another stat. She's never beaten Kristen in a tournament before this.
Bloody hell.
So,
okay.
Do you think how well she's played the last year or so?
I'll give you a guess. Who's the highest rated? Who has the highest rated round in FPO?
If it's not Owen, well, it's Paige Pierce or Kristen Tatar. Yeah.
Good guess. Paige Pierce.
Yeah.
And it's 1059, so it's, ooh, Owen was right there.
Has Kristen done enough this tournament to get above 1,000?
I love it how Bowen asks questions. He just thinks of a question and just asks it, hoping that we know the answer.
Well, you know better than me. She won Waco. And she averaged over 1,000 there. She went up by a single point. And here, I think she averaged just over 1,000, if I average it. Literally, just over.
Here's a question, Josh. I don't know if you know the answer. Do the pro players, do their ratings update after like a big tournament? Or do they do it on the second Tuesday of the month like ours?
Yeah, like everyone's.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if they played the Pro Tour. It updated after the tournament.
Yeah, so she shot 1,005, a 969, and a 1027.
So that's 3,001, quick maths, divided by 3. So that's just over 1,000. That might not be enough to push her up.
I think it might be, because I think she might have some older ones drop off. I don't know. Anyway.
It'd be pretty cool, though.
It'd be pretty cool.
That's like it's like going to be a massive milestone, isn't it, for FPO, is the first 1,000 rated player.
Yeah. And Owen, I feel like Owen could get there.
She's 984 at the moment. She needs a couple more tournaments over 1,000, I think.
I mean, she shot a 1027 event average this week. So, it's like, I feel like that's the perfect course for her. Anything longer, maybe not, but...
It limits her a bit, doesn't it? Yeah.
Do you guys like the new setup? I thought it was pretty good. You were saying it looks like a British course.
Like when I was watching it, I was thinking all the way through, really, I was thinking, this just feels like a course that you'd get in England. Like probably bigger distance, but like very laid out very similar to a lot of courses you'd find in the UK, I thought. Like you said earlier, we was talking off air, like it's almost like a park course where you've got like a clump of trees which you perhaps have to shape a shot around, or like it secludes a basket or tucks a basket away sort of thing, and you have to sort of work your way into it and stuff like that. And I quite liked it, I must admit.
It's good use of a golf course, I think. And I mean, that's where the sport's headed, to get more people on the ground watching, sell tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do prefer the start of the tour now than what it was before, when it was just like golf course, golf course, golf course, with just like, and you, all you had is like people just launching disc miles in a vague direction. And if you could throw it the furthest, you'd have a chance.
It's unfortunate for the people that run Las Vegas Challenge. But yeah, chess.com, way cooler.
What happened with Las Vegas? What was the actual story?
Well, they just wanted to, like I said earlier, Paul Macbeth bought a course and said, can I be the first tour stop? And they said, yes.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's what? I'm just making that up, but it seems legit.
That's the question I was going to ask you. Do you, like, I know it's without going in for it for too long, but do you feel like with Macbeth, I feel like with, is he the GOAT, the great, or the best of all time, in terms of, I feel like he was at the pinnacle of his game when there was a massive influx of players, start of COVID and sort. And I feel like it was like, it couldn't have been better timing for him, really. Because like, if he would have been, say, 5 years earlier, and then you'd have had like Gannon and Carl Klein and stuff like that, one of those would have been pushed to the, like, do you know, they would have been the main sort of person, and it could have really shaped disc golf quite differently. But I feel like he was strategically perfectly at the top of his game.
Yeah.
Right at the correct time, sort of thing. And
yeah, and he's investing a good portion of it back in, and is just, yeah, he's doing good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, talk about events. Has the World Champs been announced at a European country in a couple of years' time?
Isn't 2025?
Where is it? Is it Finland?
There is flicking between the Beast and, is it Tampere?
Oh, so it's Sweden, right? Then. Sweden's Tampere, isn't it?
No, it's Finland.
It's Finland.
Yeah.
Just offended Sammy. Sorry, Sammy. The Oracle.
Yes. Nokia Tampere.
There we go.
Yeah.
So Sammy will be happy at that.
Josh, don't put the accent on, because Sammy will correct you on it.
Tampere. Temper.
Just say all the iterations.
Yes.
Okie doke. So that's the second one. I genuinely cannot. As soon as I say it, I think said it again.
Neither of us said anything. Neither of us mentioned it. Me or Josh.
No, but I pick up on it now.
He's not giving us a chance to say anything because he's calling it out first.
That's true. Missy Gannon came third in FPO, so well done to her. Right. Shall we move on?
Okay.
To the
this is the bit I want to know.
What's that?
Go on. Sorry, Bone.
Roving reporter on the ground, Sammy Havaluoto.
Havaluoto.
He was at Scottish Match Play tournament at the weekend. He's give us the inside scoop, basically. Poor John from the team got knocked out second round, I think. But Sammy didn't care about that. He just wanted to tell us how the big boys got on. Now, Joe O'Brien won. He beat Rick in a second hole playoff. So Sammy's actual words, it was an epic battle. So that sounds fun. And they get like,
yeah,
you get good crowd following up in Scotland, don't you? Whenever, if everyone's finished and there's like a playoff, everyone will follow. It is like literally the whole event will follow. So that would have been good. Sammy lost to Rick in the semi-finals, but he won his third place playoff by 5-4. So he won 5 with 4 left to play against John Bruce. So well done to Sammy and team in the Chains taking third spot.
Go team.
Do better next time, Sammy. It's not quite the win, but it's a good enough start. So well done.
Excellent. Right. So I'm very keen, before we finish the show, to get the tip that is going to save me strokes on the course.
Okay. Well, I'm going to, like I did with Bowen's fake news, I'm going to create a jingle, and it's going to be like,
just the tip.
Nice.
Maybe.
Okay. You thought about this, haven't you?
Just now. I might just take that clip of me just saying that now and just put some effects on it.
Nice.
This one's, I mean, as far as the first one goes, it's a bit underwhelming. But I didn't do my homework in classic In the Chain style. But it's a tip that I always think of, and I'm usually really good at remembering. Up until recently, I forgot the last couple times I played. When you're on the course and you're having a snack, do not eat that snack with your throwing hand.
Ooh.
Like never touch anything except your discs.
Okay.
Because the grip is so important. If you eat some jerky or something and you try to do a power grip, it's going to early release every time.
Can I add to this?
Go on. I want to add to it as well.
Yes.
Only use your throwing hand for throwing. Picking up a disc out of mud, use the other hand.
Yes.
Picking up a wet disc, use the other hand. Your throwing hand is sacred.
Yes.
And this happened to me. I put sun cream on. I mean, we don't need to worry about this time of year. God. I put sun cream on, spread it all over my arms, my legs and stuff like that in the summer, like either last year or the year before. And I could not get like the slickness off my hand. It was horrible. So I'll never ever do that again.
No, I'd rather have skin cancer and throw the disc well.
Christ.
I'm probably going to have skin cancer, Bowen. My grandfather had half his nose lopped off. It's going to happen. Like,
it wouldn't make you any uglier, Josh.
It would actually help. Look how big this thing is.
So don't protect. Protect your throwing hand at all times. Don't do anything dodgy with it.
Yeah. You've seen, I can't remember what movie it is, but it's like one of the bad guys. He always wears like one leather glove as he's working. And they're like, why do you always do that, Tommy? And he's like, I like to keep one hand soft for the ladies.
That's Of Mice and Men.
Is it?
No.
Yeah. It is. It's of Mice and Men. And his name is
Leonard.
He's like the ranch owner's son.
You might be right. I think you're right.
Yeah, I am right.
But
I know my literature.
Yeah, keep the right hand grippy.
I'll go as far to say, if you're falling on the ground on your throwing arm side, let yourself face plant instead of putting your hand down. That's what I'd say. But you know what?
Okie doke.
That's not part of the official tip, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm right-handed. Every single injury I ever get to my hands is my left hand, because the right hand's always holding the tool. Do you know what I mean? So whatever tool it is, I've sliced across it with saws, I've drilled through my hand, I've done all sorts. It is always the opposite hand. So, and I think instinctively you're a bit like that, because a lot of us, I bet we're all right-handed writing, aren't we? We're dominant right hand. We throw with our right hand. I bet you there aren't many people that are dominant right and throw with their left, or dominant left and throw with their right. Do you know what I mean? Do you know anyone?
Yeah. No. I mean, I do some weird things left-handed.
No, it's a family show.
I was talking about in basketball when I was growing up, I would prefer to do layups with my left hand.
Okay.
Even though I was right-handed. So they called me blue cheese because of it. I don't know why. Because it was funky? I don't know. Anyway, I see what you're saying, though.
I think predominantly you protect the hand anyway, but just keep it in your head.
So,
yeah.
So the key question is, you promised shots. How many shots is that going to save me?
I mean, lifetime, at least 5.
You said every time we go out to play.
But that's the thing. You have to watch out, though, because some people will try to catch you slipping. Like, they'll hand you a bag of snacks on your throwing side, and you'll go reach for it, and you're like, we're halfway in the back.
We can turn this tip around. We can be devious with this.
Yeah, exactly.
Get something really greasy and slippery and hand it out to other players, but give it to them in their throwing hand.
Yeah, and then somebody just start the rumor now, like, Josh makes the best sausage rolls. And then I'll just always have them, like, hand them out to competitors.
Yeah, I like it.
talk about greasy shit.
You've got to have one.
Duffy, do you want to tell the world what you tried for the first time the other week?
Haggis.
No.
What did I... What?
When we went out with Condor and that, just after Christmas,
you were... Deodorant.
No. You were...
Oh, meddling. No.
You were thinking about it. What did you try?
It's a very common food item, so a lot of people will go, what the hell's he on about? He's never tried it. I tried my first egg. Well, it's probably not my first, but I've always grown up saying, I don't like egg. I'll have it in stuff. I'll have, like, egg fried rice, or I'll have, like, cakes and stuff like that. Or, yeah. But I've never eaten a fried egg by itself. I've always just gone, nah, I don't like it, without never really trying it. And I got the best eggs. I got...
Why are they the best eggs? Because someone told you.
Yeah, but
that doesn't make them the best eggs. Orange eggs are good.
But Bamford Brown or something like that? I think it's something like that. Burford Browns, that's it.
Yeah. Those are good.
Yeah, I tried them and I ate it all. It was fine. But it was a bit bland still. It wasn't overly... Like, I wouldn't be desperate to have it taken off my plate.
It's not the egg itself. It's what you put on it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be desperate to have one.
Did you have a runny
yolk? Yeah, runny yolk, yeah.
See, I love eggs. I absolutely love them.
So when I stayed at Duffy's house for this QP round we did a couple weeks ago, and we get up, and he goes, do you want eggs and toast? And I was like, yeah, that'd be great. And then we're standing there talking in the kitchen. He's cooking, hands me a plate of food. I was like, oh, thank you. And then he, like, turns the stove off and, like, goes about his business. And I was like, are you not eating? He's like, no, I just made that for you. And I was like, first, I felt like an asshole making him cook when he wasn't even eating. But secondly, it was very nice of him. But I didn't realize at that time that you'd never eaten just an egg.
There was a reason that time. There was a reason that he hadn't eaten. Point. He wasn't very well.
Squits.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that's
and
true.
I was worried about going to Quarry Park without...
How many pairs of underwear did you bring with you?
Toilet. Pardon?
How many pairs... You bought 4 pairs of underwear with you, didn't you?
Just in case. And I bought a pack of baby wipes, just in case. Fortunately, none of it was needed. But
are you sick or something like...
I don't know.
He'd eaten a fried egg the day before.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. My body isn't used to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you sacrificed a lot that weekend then. Played disc golf in the rain instead of going to the Liverpool. Well, you saved yourself from going to that match, I guess.
No, we should have won. We should have won.
Penalty.
So... Let's call it a wrap then on the first show of the season.
It's been over an hour, so that's good news.
Yeah. So like we said earlier, we plan on going to one show every 2 weeks, so 2 a month is the plan, just to make it a bit more Well, a bit easier scheduling wise for us, because as I'm sure you can appreciate, it's quite difficult a lot of the time to get all three of us together, especially like we've all got kids, we've all got busy lives, two of us work.
Sorry.
You like that one, Josh? No, he does work, Bowen. He's in an ABBA tribute band now.
Stop it, please. Please. I've missed it.
Okie doke. The shop, we've still got lots of new stuff to come. We've added quite a bit of stuff on from MVP. I think we've got some time lapses still on there, some stock time lapses.
They're all gone.
Not the mega expensive ones.
I think they're all gone.
Scrap that then. We have other stuff. Off the top of my head, I can't remember what.
Glitches restocked.
But, yeah, glitches are restocked. And that's always a popular one for people because they can never get hold of them. So, yeah, go over to interchangeshop.com and pick up your cheap discs.
Josh, you can spread the team code now. What's the team code? I'll let you know.
Another ITC
team 5.
ITC team 5. What does that get you, Bone?
5% off, and we put the money in the kitty and give it out to the players. Well, we've still got it in the kitty. It's about 20 quid at the moment because the team doesn't spread the code. Josh, it is up to you.
Okay. So, is this what we save up the kitty for, like, a pub visit at the end of the year?
Getting smashed. Yeah.
That's all Josh needs to hear. Josh will sell out the whole shop for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okie doke. So we'll call it a wrap then. Have you got anything else to say, Josh? Bowen?
Nope. For once.
Excellent. Right. So,
oh, wait a minute.
I knew it.
No.
I'm fucking with you.
He's doing it on purpose, Josh.
I'm fucking with you.
So that's it. We'll leave it there, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And remember to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
It's a bit like a pissing contest, isn't it, between you two on who speaks first.
I always feel like he's just going to say it because he's like original, and it should be like the top two, and then he doesn't, and then I end up saying it.
Josh, we're all equal here.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.